Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and a fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't shit.
Motherfuckers.
So this is a slow fight week. There's no fights this week. We just had the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. UFC 280 Trey. Glover Teixeira, Jamal Hill. Now we don't have fights. We got the fights off. Next week is February 4th. And then we have, who's the main event? Oh, Derek Lewis versus Spivak. That should be a good one.
Oh, shit. That is a good one.
I'll be back on Long Island for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I wanted to come here and watch, but I'm actually going to Colombia for my stem cell treatment. Wow, I can't even talk right now. Wow. I'm going to Colombia for my stem cell treatment at BioAccelerator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm going to go over there. It's going to be like a week-long thing from Monday to Friday. Come back. They're going to put me through the whole protocols that they do for like the athletes, celebrities, and all that stuff. So super excited. This is like one of the proven things, and I'm hoping all the miracles I hear from everybody else, actually, I get like some of that through osmosis.
And yeah,
my
like
bicep is fixed.
Here's, I wanted to say this, like, I feel like people who talk about the science of stem cells have great things to say, but I've never heard someone say like, oh, I got stem cells and it changed my life.
Well, I know Joe Rogan's mom did something, right? And said something about their shoulder.
Did it work?
So I know, like,
he said it worked for her.
Okay. I mean, this is going like way back. I think Kobe went somewhere to do stem cell on a knee. I don't know if it's for sure, and it worked for him. It's just something they don't do in the States, right?
No, we do it here in the States. We're very heavily regulated. So
got it.
A lot of like there's a lot of limitations on what they can do here, but over there,
whatever.
They can go.
Yeah. You pay the price.
So you
get what
like,
you want.
Here they'll do like 2 cc's and over there they'll do like 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so they'll do something. I don't want to say cc's. I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah.
But
of course.
You're like getting hundreds of thousands of stem cells versus like a couple thousand here in the States.
Oh, okay.
So you're getting hundreds of thousands.
Okay, so it's like
big difference.
Huge. Yeah.
So I'm going to get IV'd. Plugged up to IV stem cells through my bloodstream, so I get that.
Oh, nice.
And I'm getting localized shots, plus the hyperbaric chamber. I want to say time chamber, like Dragon Ball Z. And then I'm going to get like their wellness protocol with like food and things like that. So they'll be making like fresh pressed juices and things like that.
Also, we're losing weight.
So will you stay in like
eating really clean?
Fuck yeah.
Will you stay in like a facility for the week, or is it
hotel.
Like hotel?
But yeah. We're going to BioAccelerator, right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, nice.
Check out. Wait for the content. You're going to have good vlog content over there.
So I actually got to do this clip anyway for them. So they want me to do this. So I'm going to do this now because it's probably just going to be super easy since we're already here. So next week, I'm going to be flying out to Colombia, to Medellin, to work out. And I'm going to do that over. So next week, I'm going to be flying out to Colombia over in Medellin. I'm going to be going to the BioAccelerator facility, so BioX. Thank you guys for taking care of me. I appreciate this. I've heard nothing but great things. I'm looking forward to going through the treatment, seeing the protocols that everybody does over there and what you put the other athletes through and some of the other celebrities. And I'm super excited. Hopefully, I believe that this procedure will help kind of get me through without needing surgery and get me back to competing and being at 100%. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I know Joe Rogan has nothing but good things to say. I know Kamaru Usman, Frankie Edgar, Chris Weidman, Ally Quinta. So I'm hoping I could follow in these guys' footsteps and have nothing but success with the results and the trip all the way out there to Colombia. So
how sick would that be if you didn't need surgery because of this?
Oh, my gosh.
Bro, that's a game changer, bro.
It's a game changer for sure, dude.
That would be literally the biggest, like,
this is exciting, advertisement. You know?
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, I trust you guys. I know you guys have nothing but good things in terms of reviews. So I'm hoping I can be another candidate and show the world that the procedure and the protocol does work and you can get athletes back to a high level, compete at a high level, and Get your health in order. That's the main thing that matters.
1,000%. Let's go, man.
I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited for this. Let's go, man.
I'm excited.
Let's go.
Can't wait. Medellin, we coming, baby. Let's go.
The Medellin takeover.
The Medellin. I think I've been saying it wrong the whole time. Medellin.
Taylor, you coming to Colombia?
Dude, I didn't get the invite. I'll come.
You're invited.
Bro, can I get I'll get a plane ticket right now? Let's go.
It's
actually cheap.
Dude, I'll go.
It's like $500.
It's one of the cities I've always wanted to go to.
Yeah.
It's on my bucket list and no invite. But
it's funny. I never went out of the country till this year. And then they say if you work for a UFC champion.
That's all you need.
If you work for a UFC champion, that helps.
For a week?
Yeah, we're going Monday. Well, we fly in Sunday, and then they're going to pick us up.
Okay.
And then they're going to have us stay at the hotel, which is nearby the facility, and we're going to be there Monday through Friday, fly back Saturday.
I'm in.
I'm just saying, if you nothing but space and opportunity.
I'm in.
Nothing but Colombia.
I'm excited, man.
I'm very excited.
So, cheers to that.
Let's cheers to that. Dude, yeah, cheers to...
Fuck yeah.
A good...
Boom.
Shout out to RBO outcome. Motorsports.
Oh, thanks. I'm trying to invest in the wrong company, you know what I mean?
Listen, man, let's go. Some things working right now, so hopefully things work out with that.
If I work for free for a month, can I get some equity? Can I exchange some labor for some equity?
That's actually hilarious. I mean, we could hire you for like the content stuff too, so that would be cool.
That'd be sick.
It's a way to make money. It's not equity, but...
It's work.
Damn, I can't get
1%. But it's work, Jake.
I just can't get a little bit.
Listen, I'm pretty sure the equity for that is gonna go for like maybe like 100k a point, maybe, which would be pretty sick.
Yeah. Fuck, that would
but
be
dope. We'll see. We'll
That's
see.
A lot of content, Jake.
Yeah, we'll see what the turnout looks like in terms of the projection. And obviously, when you win fights, people want to be a part of things even more. And again, thing is not like, we're doing this because we want to make sure we have a good product.
Correct.
I want to make sure we don't put out a shit product with my name attached to it. So if I'm going to do this, I want to do this the right way. Something that I'm going to actually like to drink. And I like drinking. So if I'm going to make something I'm going to drink, I'm going to make something that's going to be actually good.
Fuck yeah.
So from the ones that we did have, the smoothness of the rum is very important to me.
100%.
It's almost more important than the actual taste.
I agree.
So far, for me.
Yeah.
I feel like that's...
Just so we know that. You know what I mean? The smoothness, when it goes down and you're like, you don't feel like you took a shot, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, so far, this
one. This
one. For that.
Look, we're still sipping it. Like, it's like, that one's bad, a winner right now, so far. So far.
Great right now.
Did you have someone else we were supposed to talk about?
Connor?
Oh.
Connor is... Potentially the
notorious.
Doing the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, no.
Allegedly.
He said he posted a picture from when he was on originally, and he was saying how, you know, he was coaching against Uriah Faber. He had a great time. They offered him the role again. And once people heard that he was getting offered a role in the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, all kinds of people started lining up to be the coach against him.
Oh, wow.
I coach against that motherfucker.
That would be dope.
And I like how I'm just saying, I just want to show that I can out coach the best of the best.
So, like, I guess my question is, like, who that he could fight would be the best co-host of that season?
Ooh. Michael Chandler.
They're throwing around. So they said Michael Chandler.
To me? Later.
They said Michael Chandler.
Not even a question.
But I think Jorge's better than Michael Chandler.
Thank you later.
For the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh,
the amount of shit talk and clips you're getting out of that.
He is bigger too now. Maybe Jorge.
I like Jorge, but Jorge
the king
is
of
like
the Miami. That's what they say. King of Miami.
King of Miami reminds me of a street guy, which he kind of is.
You're right.
So when it comes to trash talk, I feel like he might get pissed to the point where he might actually legit try to fight him.
So that'd be sick.
Great.
It'd be great TV.
That's amazing content.
But if they actually do get into a fight, maybe like everything kind of gets pulled, which could be bad.
Nah.
But it could also be good in terms of ratings.
Because
I'm tuning
that,
in.
They're not pulling that
I'm
show.
I'm tuning in. I don't
know. Bro, I guarantee you they'll get into it.
Because Jorge not going to sit there and let Connor talk
and
to him.
You know,
like
Connor,
that
that's all he does is talk.
Imagine a whole season of just straight up Connor McGregor trash talk.
Okay. I'm just
thinking.
I'm thinking as a fan, I'm thinking, for me, not even close. Jorge. No, just as a fan, nothing else.
Yeah.
Not
Michael
as
Chandler,
a fight or whatever, I'm with you.
Michael Chandler is one of my favorite fighters.
Me too.
Like, as a fan, right? But he can't talk shit like Jorge can. You don't want Connor talking shit, and then Michael Chandler speaking some, like, you know, I'm in love with my wife. I love God. Like, you don't want him to get into that bag when Connor's trying to talk shit. I don't think that's very synergistic.
Just for TV ratings, yeah. What do you
but
think?
But I think that message is sick that Michael Chandler has. But then you want someone who's, like, going to give it back to Connor, and they're going to, like, one guy's going to feed off the other, and it's just going to go until this big thing explodes, and then they fight it out.
That's a sick freaking fight, though, dude, man.
Connor and Michael Chandler?
But the only thing that sucks is, like, if one of them loses, will their light get, like, dim? Well, would it be dimmer?
If Connor loses, 1,000%, because he's lost, what, the last 2-3 fights? I don't know exactly. Yeah, he needs a win, and not like that. I think the better matchup for him is Jorge.
Better than Chandler?
For sure, because I think,
dude, honestly, Chandler's a better matchup.
Nah,
for him.
I don't think so,
Chandler,
bro,
beats him. I don't know. I don't know why.
I feel like Chandler's like a fucking savage.
Because he's a savage.
Real right now. I'm gonna give you guys a real.
I think,
right now.
But I know what you're gonna say.
I think
I know
he's
what
more
you're gonna
technical.
Say.
No, you don't.
Connor's gonna light up Chandler's chin.
Really?
No, that's not what I'm gonna
okay,
say.
I don't know.
So we know Chandler's a freak specimen. Full disclosure: Chandler could be a world champion today if he just fought smarter.
Correct.
And we all know that he doesn't use all his physical gifts other than explosiveness and power. When it comes to using his accolades in terms of wrestling, he does not use that.
It's like he wants to be exciting.
That's it. And that's all he cares. He's
and
here for a
good time.
That's
why he loses. Not a long time.
I
like that.
That's it.
1,000%
But
that's
some of
accurate.
Those shots that Dustin Poirier took from Michael Chandler, I'm worried those put out Conor McGregor.
Wait, why? Based on what?
No,
what history do we see of Conor
because I feel like
punished.
I feel like the shots that Dustin Poirier hit Conor with are not as – and those were hard shots. But I feel like Chandler's shots that he hits guys with are a little bit harder than that. It just looks like that from my perspective.
What is
like, dude? When Chandler
weight wise,
Chandler
what is
throws
Connor
his
hat,
fucking
though?
Stone nah,
you guys got
Greek god body.
Okay, yeah,
all the way into a punch. Like he jumps across the cage,
but,
and his fist lands on your chin.
But
for Connor,
no, just anybody he hits. Like he just,
for Connor,
right? I think.
Wait, who are we talking about right
so,
now?
So Connor got knocked out by Dustin Poirier, right?
Okay,
I think Chandler has more power.
Ooh, I don't
okay. know. But you know, the way he got knocked out is because it was like an accumulation of strikes. It wasn't a one shot put him down from Dustin.
But that one really finished it. The one where Connor was going down and then Dustin hit him clean.
Yeah,
and
but that's after.
I'm talking
know,
about the second fight.
Yeah, and that's via like exhaustion after being
and
beaten down with his
up.
Legs because
yeah.
he took so many calf kicks. That
Chandler's not
going to
beat
factor.
Up his legs, I don't think.
Like no, because Chandler don't kick.
Nah.
But this is what I'm talking about. Chandler has all these tools. And
that
his
is
gets,
true.
And it gets me so mad because I'm like, you are number one.
He
but
actually
you don't want to be number one.
He actually
one.
Could be
Connor's going to have, I think, a reach advantage. He's going to be a little bit bigger than him. But the thing is, how big is Connor? Is he going to drop all the way there? Or is he going to
I think
fight someone like Jorge?
Fight IQ is everything, man.
You know?
Connor low-key does have like a sick
Who
fight
would you
IQ.
Be more
He's
excited
smart,
to
man.
See fight? Connor or Jorge or Connor or and
I personally think Connor beats both guys.
I do.
I thought
too.
You said Chandler beats him. I thought you just said that.
No, I think it would be a sick. Like, I feel like Chandler poses a challenge because he's so powerful. Like, he's gonna land and he's gonna hit Connor really hard.
Okay.
And can Connor take those shots still? Because he took.
I think he could still take a shot.
He was knocked out.
I think he could still take
right
a
now.
Shot.
Am I
yeah.
wrong?
Yeah, I think you're way wrong.
Okay.
Because in terms of, no, you can, I want you to voice your opinion. But what I'm saying is in terms of durability, the difference is that was accumulation versus like, I hit you so hard that you just quit. If it's like over the course of 2-3 rounds, those shots add up. When you get your calf kick 5, 8, 10 times,
yeah.
your will to fight because you're now a stationary target where those punches that you were able to roll with, you're now eating the brunt of that force. And Chandler is not going to do that because he doesn't kick. That's one. So he's not going to slow Connor. He's going to be like Eddie Alvarez, swinging punches, and Connor's going to be able to see it coming from a mile away because his reach is it's one of those
that's
things.
True.
Connor hasn't beaten anybody
right.
at 155 other than Eddie Alvarez. He beat Cowboy Cerrone at 170.
Yeah.
Cowboy just came off of a fight.
Yeah.
And honestly, it looked like Cowboy had a lot of things going on in his personal life. Granted, you make the walk and you step into the cage, that is on you.
Yeah.
No one can sit there and make excuses for you.
1,000%.
But from a fighter analyst position, where I'm like, okay, why did he get through him like that, where Cowboy had these fights, which was crazy, with Ally Quinta, with Tony Ferguson, and all these other guys? How did he have these wars with those guys, and then he goes and fights Connor, and it goes like that in like a minute?
I know.
You gotta look at it like that. Like, what was the difference? What was the deciding factor? And that's what helps me to analyze and break down like opponents and things like that. And that's why I think Connor would do a lot better with Chandler, because again, he hasn't beaten anyone. I feel like Stephen A. Smith right now.
He hasn't beaten anyone
at 155 outside of Eddie Alvarez.
I think he beats both guys. I think Connor would beat Jorge, but I think Connor would beat Chandler too. But I think Chandler is just more of that, like, what I'm trying to say is I feel like Chandler has more of that, like, knockout power.
I think the easier fight for Connor to me is Jorge.
You think so?
I don't know why. They'll fight at what, 170? Most likely.
Yeah. I feel like Chandler's
fight
like,
at one, I think Connor's 170 now. That's what I think. I don't know. Back in the day, he was 155.
He's not 170.
Nah.
No.
Wait till he starts doing cardio.
He looks like a balloon.
I mean, I think that's what he'll go to. He's not going back to 155, I don't think.
Listen, Connor was starching guys at 145.
I know. I do remember that. Yes. You're
right.
And
now he's at 155. He didn't have the same success.
But also, since he went up to 155, he was not nearly as seemed like he was way more committed at 145, and then he had all that success. He had one fight at 155, and then he kind of like stopped doing MMA.
Well, then he went boxing. He went
boxing.
Boxing
changed.
Right. So he started doing other shit
career.
That made him way more money. And then his dedication hasn't been on the same level as these killers at 155.
Correct.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
So I don't know if it's actually the size thing as much as it is Connor's dedication to the sport. Because he's just been making, he's been printing money everywhere else but MMA. And MMA is just not as lucrative. And we know Connor's about his money.
But as an athlete, as a competitor, you love the thrill of getting in there. There's something about the energy from the crowd, whether they're for you or against you. When you walk into that arena, man, there is no other emotion that I can feel, I can describe to you and have any type of comparison of what that's like.
Yeah.
When those lights go dim, your music drops, and that spotlight shines on you, and you're walking, they open the curtains, and they go, 3, 2, 1, walk! And you're like, yo, this is my fucking movie.
Yeah,
there's no feeling like that, man. I'm telling you. Connor is a competitor. He's an absolute savage. He wants to compete. He wants to show that he can still fight under those lights and win. The only thing is, whether the game has passed him by. Because again, all his success has been at 145, when he went on those crazy streaks. And I'm not saying he can't do it at 55, but taking time off for boxing, then trying to come back, his leg is broken, he's been on the sidelines. You know, that plays a factor. You get older,
right.
Father time is undefeated, man.
And that's why I feel like Chandler's a little more dangerous, because you look at Chandler, and like, he is completely 100% dedicated to becoming a better athlete.
Is he though?
It seems like it.
On what? His Instagram post?
Yes. I'm going to go with that.
Social media for the
win. I got roasted on TikTok for that like a year ago, saying, look at Connor's Instagram versus Chandler's Instagram. But like, there's something to be said for like, if Connor's Instagram is like, all we see from Connor is it's all partying on the yacht. 12. We're hearing stories about him getting arrested and getting DUIs and getting and
so it just
beating
makes
women on his yacht versus
how
Chandler.
Serious is he is?
Chandler's going home to his wife, it seems like. Like
I
don't mean it like that.
He goes
home to
the wife.
I'm saying, I'm comparing.
Yes.
What,
make sure you say that right.
Chandler's going home to his wife.
Yes. Period.
He's going to that fucking gym with the green turf and the purple walls that you see on his Instagram.
Trying to get people fired.
Jeez, Jake
is he about to have divorce?
No, I'm just
no
saying, like, it seems like Connor's just partying versus what Chandler seems like he's doing. All right, you guys are fucking with me.
Jake, we're just being careful around here, okay?
He trying to get this man divorced.
No.
This man's got two kids.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
No, I feel you. But
like, if I look at your Instagram, you know what I'm going to think? Oh, Aljo likes to train. He likes to podcast. And occasionally, he likes to go to the beach clubs. That's what I'm going to think of your life.
You know
right?
what? 1,000%.
If I look at Chandler's Instagram.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Like, okay,
if I look at Chandler's Instagram, I'm going to go, oh, he likes to go to the same gym and do these insane fucking CrossFit-looking workouts. And he's fucking jacked as shit, and he looks like an athlete. And if I look at Connor's Instagram, I'm going to go, it looks like Connor's rich as shit, and he's partying, and then he's doing some boxing drills once in a while.
Yeah, slipping in those satin sheets.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just what it seems like. Egyptian and I don't know how much you can
touch your skin.
If you're posting a couple times a day, I think it's hard to fake what's going on. So I think it would be hard for Connor to be always training and acting like he's always partying on Instagram.
So here's my counter to that. I agree with you for the most part, but then you have to look at the other side of it. The guys that actually step in there and compete, what do they do when they're in there under the lights? And Chandler has shown time and time again that he has the ability and the physical skill set to do all these great things. But every time he competes, he does things that it doesn't even make any sense from the outside viewer. Even as an athlete, I go, well, Chandler, you have 2 feet and 2 legs, but you don't use your legs. You only use your hands. You have this crazy wrestling pedigree. You don't use it.
Yep.
And when you do use it, you do something that you know doesn't make sense. Let me do a high amplitude slam on Dustin Poirier and get reversed. The thought process.
That was heartbreaking.
And I like Dustin Poirier. Dustin is the freaking man for a reason.
I agree.
He's beating like how many of these good guys? You know what I mean?
He's up there.
John Anik said he doesn't even need to be a belt to be like a legend.
100%.
Because he's beat fucking everybody. And if he beat Khabib, he would have the best resume in lightweight history.
100%.
Yeah.
Easily.
You got to say his IQ is super high.
The only guy who...
Super high. And he uses it. That's the difference. Yeah. He uses it, you know?
Like he uses
jiu-jitsu.
That's
where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where I'm like...
I agree.
Chandler, on the other hand, he has all these... We know... He could have taken down Poirier and just chilled in the guard, maybe throw a couple punches, make it a boring fight. I'm not saying that's the way he should have went out there and fought. But there's a path to victory for him, and he almost never uses it because he'd rather be the known guy for his entertainment, which is
cool.
Fine.
I mean, he's cashing those checks.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about a matchup with him and Connor, I think Connor's going out there to fucking win.
Yeah. And I think
and highlight
the way Connor beats him is by knockout.
Yes.
100%. And that's entertaining as fuck.
Yeah.
So.
But I think Connor is smart enough to use all his tools to get it there, where he knows if Chandler comes out here and just wrestle F's me for the entire time, he can easily just go out there and get a W, more than likely.
And I feel like
Connor really couldn't do anything about it.
I feel like Chandler would be like, in his head, he's like thinking like, okay, well, if I knock out Connor McGregor, bro, I'm the fucking man. People forget about these losses recently.
100%.
And if he's wrestle him, no one really gives a fuck.
He won't wrestle.
Because he's not Khabib. Wrestle. He's not going to just Khabib you.
Yeah, but
so I'm thinking for Chandler.
I want both checks, bro. I'm going out there the path of least resistance, bro. I'm not here to get
because if you wrestle fuck Connor,
the Connor fanboys are gonna be tight.
No one's really happy with that.
Yeah, they're tight.
So and knowing Chandler, right. Just his temperament, he's always like so tempted by that bait of just the
entertainment.
Fucking entertainment and like the success that brings you when you entertain the crowd. I don't fucking know if he can resist that temptation.
Yeah.
And then Connor's just going to
explode. So, but out of the two that he would possibly fight would be Chandler and Masvidal. Which one would you rather see?
Wonderboy threw his hat in there, too. But
it's,
I don't
to
know
me, they're
happen.
Both exciting. I think they both.
Jorge is like a striking match.
Yeah. I would rather see Connor fight Jorge.
Me too.
And I think Jorge is even less committed than Connor. Like, if I had to guess.
What's
Jorge
better for...
still eating freaking McDonald's and Burger King, bro.
It's not the same. Like,
I think that's a better matchup.
But low-key, they're both, like,
I think it's a
so
better
rich.
Matchup for
bro,
Connor.
They're both savages.
Yeah. It's a better matchup for Connor.
I feel like Jorge's
the
closest
guy. I think UFC
guy.
Wants Connor to win the next fight. I'm not saying.
Oh, of course.
So they want to do a good matchup for him where he has a better opportunity of winning.
But he's at that point.
If he loses again, then what?
Well,
what are you
I think
doing?
They might do Chandler. I just thought of this. If he beats Chandler, they can easily throw him in for a title shot.
That's the joke right there, though. That is the joke.
He's one fight
but,
away
but,
from
but
a title fight.
But you can
fight.
Just say,
you're
oh,
right.
He just beat a top
always.
Five guy.
Yeah.
So fuck you guys. He's getting the title shot.
Yeah, always.
You're right.
You could always do that.
You know,
or they could just throw him against Islam right now. And just be like, fuck you. But they're not going to do that.
What? With Islam right now?
No, I'm saying like.
You can't do that.
Nah.
Like, I'm not saying they're not going to do that.
I would be tight.
But if he beats Chandler.
Look at you like, bro, Beneil Dariush has been right there this entire time. Yeah. You're going to throw Connor in there over Beneil?
No, you can't.
Imagine
you can't
they
do that.
Connor. Yeah, no.
But I'm just saying. Let Islam fight Beneil. Let him do some type of damage so that Connor can get in there and maybe have a chance to win.
Yeah, true. No, but I think.
Let him wear him down a
little bit. What happens if you beat Jorge? Nothing really.
It's an exciting fight. Jorge does numbers. Conor does numbers. It's a blockbuster
fight. That's a 1.5 million pay-per-view.
And it's an opportunity where you could have Jorge almost under the same light as Cowboy Cerrone, where you're like, Jorge is getting to that point where he's been around for a very, very long time. Like, Father Time is undefeated.
For
like,
sure.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Jorge can still scrap, but eventually your durability goes. Your skill set could still be there, but your durability goes. And if Conor can clip him, which he did to Nate Diaz, that could be the fight.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying that's what happens, because again, Jorge, he's got great hands, great kickboxing.
The hype if Conor knocks out either one of these guys?
Yeah, but that's the sell right there.
Okay, either one of them.
If Jorge knocks him out,
then what?
Then what? Like,
oh, you're like,
and you just killed Conor's entire,
you know, yeah, what?
Sellability.
But now you have Jorge. But now you have Jorge again, who's Street Jesus all over again.
Yeah.
But I, you know,
but
what?
Conor's career, what are you doing after that?
I don't know. He could low key retire.
No, give him somebody that he could beat, man. Stop giving him these guys who are savages.
Up there, you're right.
But yo, they thought he was gonna walk through Dustin Poirier.
Yo, listen,
why?
UFC,
isn't that funny?
Why did they think that?
Isn't that funny looking back at it?
That makes no sense. Things.
The UFC
they
thinks
did
a
think
lot
that.
Of things.
You're
man.
Right.
Because they do these meetings.
You know what? But everyone thought that. Conor was the favorite in that fucking both those fights.
Yeah.
The most one of the most durable fighters.
Fucking
like that's
Vegas,
crazy.
Who never gets anything wrong. Thought that it was fucking Conor gonna win.
Well, they got one thing wrong. Me versus Henry Cejudo. If we do fight,
he's
Henry,
the favorite.
Henry should be the favorite. So my friends could make money.
I put my house mortgage on you, baby.
My friends can make money.
Yo, I think we should drink on all the podcasts. I think we're getting way better.
It's fun. I don't know.
It's amazing.
Wait, can we finish this one?
Yeah, we're still.
I've been sipping it the whole time.
I'm finishing this one.
I'm like, dude, at least I'm giving.
I got so
content,
much to do tomorrow.
Sure. Talkative Jake. They're gonna call him Talkative Jake now.
Fuck. I'm gonna put that in my lower third. Talkative Jake.
Talkative Jake.
Jake
they didn't even know you can. Yeah, but you can invite the neighbor over too. Me.
Yeah.
Yo, you're good. You could replace me.
Okay. No,
easily.
I can't. Yeah, I mean,
I think I it's good, man, because it's a great problem to have when you have two superstars that are fighting each other. Because yep. No matter what, you still win. And there's an opportunity for the other guy. I feel like it's worse for Jorge if he loses than it is for Conor if he loses.
Yeah.
I think if Jorge loses, they rid of him. Goodbye, Jorge. Like, there's no more, like, real, like, hype there.
It'd be tough.
Because, you know,
that,
I'm only
saying
they'll
that. Still throw him in
no,
something because his name's big enough. But the thing is, we were talking about
against guys who can knock
we were talking
him out,
about the Contender Series, right?
Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighter. Sorry. The Ultimate Fighter. Who would be more enjoyable to watch?
Right. But then also, who is Conor more likely to beat?
That's two things they want to do.
Like, can Michael Chandler keep up with Conor on a Ultimate Fighter setting? That's what I wonder.
No.
No.
Like, he'll get washed in the trash talk. Jorge, I think.
Won't.
Jorge will, he'll probably get washed, but he'll actually, like, put up some, like entertaining
nah, Jorge
shit.
Jorge low key funny though, bro. Jorge is low key funny. When you grow up in the hood, bro, you low key funny
for
by
sure.
default.
I want Jorge. I want Jorge for sure, dude.
But that
I hope that's what happens.
And especially because I know the shit that Jorge would like to say that he probably know he can't say because it's on TV. Like if
he still
no
will
cameras,
say it, might he might still
yeah,
say it
the
though.
The savage shit that he probably yeah. wants to say, bro. Come on, I'm telling you from experience.
Is this a stupid? Comparison, like if you look at Jorge versus Nate and then Conor's second fight versus Nate, who had a better performance? Is that fair MMA math?
Well,
I'm asking you
genuinely. Nate wasn't, I feel like his scar tissue maybe wasn't as bad back then, or maybe the shots that Jorge hit him with opened up the scar tissue that was there that Conor didn't necessarily hit.
Like if, yeah, like is it fair to be like, look at both their performances against both their most recent performances against Nate, and then try to use that to dictate how you would predict that fight.
I'm a little
so
right
long
now.
Ago, yeah. I don't know, but another thing were they, and this is a question I don't
is
know.
That too complicated.
Said,
for
were
you
they
right
fighting
said,
at different
right
weight
now.
Classes when they fought?
They fought at 170 the second time they fought.
You're right. Yep.
Kind of said his foot was a balloon.
Because I think. Jorge's performance against Nate was way better than Conor's second
yo,
performance
Jorge's
against Nate.
Jorge's got freaking hands, bro.
So, like, yo, if you... That's actually a tough ass fight.
If you I want to see Conor and Jorge angle. Bad. Yeah. As a fan, just as a fan, that's the fight I want to see.
Which one?
Jorge and Conor.
I just wish there weren't repercussions of like, oh, if you lose, then you're star power. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
I just want to see
the great fights.
I don't care. I'm a fight fan. That's what I want to see. I don't care about anything else, who wins or what. I just want to see that fight.
Yeah.
And like, it's probably one of my top fights that I'd want to see.
Top guys, skilled. They know how to scrap on the feet.
And they're just going to scrap.
And it's going to be fun to watch.
But yeah. If you're the UFC, you need Conor to get a win.
You need him to get a win, but honestly, he hasn't fought so long, they're okay.
Do you really need him? You want him to win. You don't need him to win.
If Conor loses again, that's three in a row.
Well, if he loses again, there's issues with him.
Right.
Oh, it's your boy.
And you can't have Conor, one, contemplating retirement, or two, on a three-fight losing streak. That's just bad for hype, I think. And Conor's their guy who when they throw him in, they know he's doing a certain amount of pay-per-view buys.
I'm saying Conor go back down to 145 and kill everybody. Kill everybody, brother. Kill everybody, bro. Conor. Eat everybody, bro. Kill everybody, bro.
You think
bro.
He got that in him? Conor, that type of weight juice? Cut?
Nah, he ain't going back down
to 145. He can't make that weight cut.
What if Volk wins the title against Islam?
No.
And then Conor versus Volk? They just throw him in against Volk. How sick. Because I would have Conor in that.
I would hate that because Beneil Dariush versus Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
are way more deserving. And I would hate that because I know when you work hard to get somewhere and they keep denying you, it's like the saddest feeling because you know you deserve it, but there's literally no, it's like almost like a glass ceiling. Like you see where you should be, but you can't get there because of outside forces that no matter what you do, you won't be able to get there because they just won't let you in. It's cold, man. And at the end of the day, I feel for Beneil.
Be like Conor.
That's not easy
to
do.
I had a Bud Light guy say that at the UFC athlete retreat one time.
Yeah.
He was drunk. And he was like, we don't want the guy to sponsor him that's knocked out on the floor. We want the guy that's Conor McGregor. Be like Conor. And the crowd, all of the fighters, it was probably like, 100
he said that to a crowd?
No, to the 100, like, it was an athlete retreat. All UFC athletes. So we're all sitting there in this conference room listening to him. He's drunk. And everyone in the room has probably been knocked out, probably 90% of the people in there. And we're all like, we want to fuck you up right now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow.
I heard he got fired. Good for him.
Good.
Damn.
If he didn't, hope he does.
Damn.
Let's do that.
It's very serious. Should we shoot the last of this?
Bro, I'm over here babysitting.
I'm fucking.
Y'all got me nervous. And
Got like the same amount.
I thought we cheers already. I'm not gonna lie, drinking the Mount Gay a little bit later, it's a little bit more harsh.
Yeah, it is. I wonder if that's a thing. Like when you first start drinking, shit is, it's less harsh.
Maybe our taste buds are worn down from all the trash we drank.
I'm gonna cool need to grow that, though. I want that on the rocks. That one.
Yeah. Maybe all the trash we drank wore us down.
I think if I had some two more shots, rough. I would be very drunk.
Two more shots, I might not make it to the shop tomorrow. For real.
I need to Grubhub some like Chipotle later because that was rough.
Grubhub.
Or DoorDash or some shit.
Or Postmates, whatever.
Something.
You want to pay $30 for a quesadilla?
Just kidding. You're right.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Not when you've been drinking.
There's a lot wrong with that. So I'm guessing they... Okay, like, for the Ultimate Fighter, Jorge's better. But if you want Conor to win, Chandler's better. How about Wonderboy? Where does Wonderboy fit in? Because Wonderboy said...
None of the above.
Wonderboy commented on some shit today, and he said, you know, I would love to have this spot against Conor.
You know what annoys me?
I'm
not even going to do it. I'm not even going to do it.
No, come on.
I'm not even going to do
it. We want to hear it. You can't say what annoys me and you don't do it.
Yeah, bro, you can't just... That's like saying, yo, I got to tell you something.
Say what you think.
And then, but I can't tell you till later. Yes. Nah, you're going to tell me right the fuck now.
I want to know. honest.
What annoys you?
A lot of things annoy me, but...
Besides me.
The Wonder Boy fight would just be like looking at his last fight, he won. But it's annoying because Kevin Holland literally blew that bag.
Yeah, and I can see that.
For sure. It's kind of like, I don't know. Like, I count the win, of course, because Kevin Holland did what he did. Like, you can't disregard that. But it's just like,
well, like,
I mean, if we're being honest, like, Holland should have won the fight if he had fought smart. The same thing we say about Michael Chandler. If he fights smart, he would be a world champion today.
So wait, you think Islam would lose to Michael Chandler if he fought smart?
If Chandler used his wrestling,
okay,
I think that's a very compelling fight where Chandler has all the tools in the world to win. And this is like, well, what's fighting smart? Well, then I don't really know, because we don't know how good Islam is off of his back. We don't know how good Chandler's jiu-jitsu is. I do. We don't know how good his jiu-jitsu is on top.
How good is it?
So there's a lot to be seen there, but we do know the power, the endurance, and his mental toughness. Justin Gaethje, yeah, we saw that. Eddie Alvarez, we saw that.
Yeah.
But we know when he uses his wrestling against Dustin Poirier, we've seen that.
Yeah.
When he wants to be like the path of victory to win, yeah, is not always going to be the most exciting. But sometimes when you, like when I fought Jan, I could kickbox with Jan. But am I going to do well with Jan if I just strictly kickbox? No. Probably not.
Of course.
Nah. I'm going to be honest here and say probably not.
Yeah.
But I do know if I mix in a wrestling and I do take him down, it gets him thinking.
Yeah.
And now the strikes that probably won't land normally
can land.
It lands more now. So what I'm saying is, if Chandler fought him like that, I think there is a conversation to say that Chandler could possibly win a fight against Islam. I'm not saying he wins, but he could possibly win, because that's how talented that, when you get to the top of your division, it's separated by a game of inches, man. Like, yeah, guys, yeah, make the first mistake, usually end up losing unless you can adjust and come back from that mistake.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that annoys me about Chandler sometimes. And I'm not saying this to, like, I'm not trying to rag on him whatsoever.
For sure.
You want to be excited, bro? Go ahead and be excited. Make your money. But at the end of the day, people only remember the wins and losses, man. At the end of the day.
I don't know.
No.
No.
No, no. I think he's right. Because for me, as like a pure fan, if you're a wrestler and say you were a kickboxer, I want to see if the kickboxer is better than the wrestler. I want you to use what you're good at versus what you're good at and see who actually wins. Nowadays, everyone's kind of equal on certain aspects, but it's not always about the exciting fight. I want to see what skill is actually better.
That's if you're a purist MMA fan.
Back in the day,
right?
You would see a wrestler versus a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
I want to see what's better to me as a purist. Okay.
Okay. Yes, but I remember Chandler's losses because they were exciting.
Which losses do you remember?
When he got knocked out? Like
I remember all his fights because they're exciting is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, because that's different from
his losses. Like, you're saying, people remember wins and losses. I'm saying,
but
Chandler's kind of an exception because he's so exciting. The fights, you just like,
you can if say you see he's Chandler an exception.
If you see Chandler's on the pay-per-view, it adds to the pay-per-view, I think.
For
right?
sure. I can agree with that, yes.
But what about losing makes you go, oh, man, I can't wait to see him?
No, not it's not about – that's what I'm saying. He kind of – I think right now he's in a space where he's, like, beyond the wins and losses in a way, I think. You think if Chandler's against – like, if they put Chandler against an exciting guy,
okay,
people are watching that fight, yes, because it's Chandler. And they know how exciting his fights are.
But if you keep losing?
Yeah, but it's like, how long can people give a shit about you if you keep losing?
I agree.
That's what I'm saying right now.
I can grab a guy off the street, Jake, that could be exciting and tough and durable and could go in there and last and throw haymakers and make it exciting. I don't give a shit, bro. You need to get wins.
Okay.
People remember wins.
All the way, like in 10 years, people remember wins and losses. But right now?
But right now.
People kind of, I feel like people forgive him. I only think he has a couple more losses in him before people are like, fuck this.
Where's Stephen A. Smith when you need him?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. When I see a fighter who's 15
up until his last fight, he was, you know, what was he, 2-2 in the UFC? And people were like,
he fought Hooker, he lost to Oliveira, he fought Gaethje, he lost to him, and then he fought
Tony.
He fought Tony.
So he was 2-2.
He knocked out Tony.
And all four of those fights were extremely exciting.
And then he just lost to
Dustin Poirier.
DP.
So all four of those first four fights were very exciting. Yeah. And then when he lost to Poirier, I think Poirier...
I think there's just an exception with certain fighters. Like, okay, if I'm watching...
Connor, how about that?
No, if I'm watching and I see two people, I don't know them. Say I don't know them. Say one guy's 15 and 2, right?
Yeah.
And I see a guy who's 20 and 9. The 20 and 9 guy, I'm like, I don't even know. Oh, he's not good. As a fan, I'm just thinking he's not good, but he won 20 fights. I'm looking at the guy that's, whatever, 15 and 1, 15 and 2, like, oh, he must be good. Even if I don't never watch them fight.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So the wins and the losses are important.
Right, but like, okay, like modern fans, they've probably seen most of Chandler's fights and they've been excited by those fights and they've been given a feeling by those fights.
I'm cool with Chandler.
And they know Chandler's bringing the excitement.
But specifically Chandler only.
I don't disagree
with
that.
But a couple more losses, I think he loses. Like people.
What's a couple? How many more is a couple?
Okay, well.
One?
Okay, two? It depends on the matchups too. Because if he fights Connor, everyone's going to be excited.
But then if he loses to Connor,
if they put him against Beneil and he loses, it's like, okay, this is kind of getting weird now. You're just losing these fights and making them really exciting, but you're like.
No one wants to see an exciting fighter keep losing.
But if he loses to Connor, is an exception.
But if Chandler puts on a boring-ass fight where he grapple-fucks somebody.
And he wins.
I think people would take the Dustin Poirier fight over him fighting really smart, but it's a boring fight.
You got to remember, though, all fans want to see blood. At the end of the day, all fans, whether...
That's what grows the sport.
That's what grows the sport. You're because right. People see it.
They want to see knockouts. They want to see knockouts. Crazy things.
They
want to
see people go back and forth. They want to see who's the dog. But at the end of the day, is that... That don't pay the bills, man. That only pays the bills for so long. When I'm trying to book an appearance, when I'm trying to get on Good Morning America, when I'm trying to get on all these things, Breakfast Club, you think they're going to take... You think they're going to... Oh, you had a really exciting fight. We want to take you. It don't work like that, man.
No, they'll take the guy who beat you.
You know what? You know
all day long.
That's true.
You know what's rough about like your industry, UFC, boxing, compared to...
Flashing. No, you're good. We got
compared to NFL, NBA is like, okay, LeBron James can have a bad game, but his team won.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, LeBron James killing it. When you're in the octagon one-on-one, you have to be exciting. You have to win by knockout. You have to be able to talk to the media. There's so many different aspects for you as an individual to grow yourself and also the sport. So that's way different of a category to me.
You have to have the whole package.
Dude, that's fucking crazy, bro.
You legit have to have the whole package of...
How many people, a handful of people have that? That's not easy, bro.
You got to be able to talk to people. You got to be able to win the fights. You got to be able to train hard. You got to be able to recover. You got to be able to perform under the lights. You got to be able to sell the next fight if you win.
Yeah.
Wow, Jay.
God damn. And I like look what you're doing right now. Like,
yeah. Who's
doing that?
Like, I enjoy doing this. I like talking about the fights. For me, I like coaching. I like teaching. I went to school to be a physical education teacher, which means I went to school to be a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, I liked wrestling. I like what it taught me in terms of the valuable lessons of just learning, working hard, what it means to sacrifice and to commit to something. And then when you go through all that, you're like, oh, man, this was tough. But the lessons that you gain from that life experiences, there's no other thing like that.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah.
That's why, like, with the sport, man, it's like people don't get that. Like, we pour our heart and soul, and sometimes we have a bad night where we're, like, maybe more nervous than another night to pull the trigger. Or maybe the guy we're fighting or the girl we're fighting is just a freaking savage. And you don't want to make the first mistake where you could be the one that's highlighted and sleeping on the canvas.
Yeah.
This is, like, there's a lot of high stakes in a fight, in a profession like this, in a career like this. And sometimes I think the fans... could be a little bit harsh on the athletes. And I get it. Like, you pay your money, you want to watch, you want to see a great show. But sometimes the fights don't go like that. Sometimes you train because you train the way that you want to win because of the strengths of your opponent.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the game. You get two checks. You win, you go forward. You lose.
You go backwards.
You might end up like Sungwoo in Squid Games. you're dead.
Yeah. I know.
You know what I mean?
And that's your
especially
paycheck.
If the UFC doesn't like you.
Yeah, man. So then it's
like
that.
Like, if you lose, I feel like they just give you, like... Or there's even guys who had a lot of hype at one point, they lose a certain amount of fights, and then it's like, okay, we're just going to use your name and clout that you've built.
That's it.
To build up the next guy.
Yeah.
We're going to put you against guys who we think are going to beat you, and then when those guys beat you, it makes them look better, even though you were once the guy that was making us a bunch of money.
You know what's crazy? Is like some fighters legitimately think when the UFC offers the matchups that they think it's in their favor. And it's like, oh, I think it's a good fight for me. And I just go like, I just put my head down. It's like,
yeah,
bro, if you don't think that the UFC is thinking that you're going to lose to this guy, something is wrong with you. And you need to get your brain assessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have
you're playing checkers.
Yeah, they have their projections of where they think people are going to go. You have to, as a matchmaker, there's so many fighters.
I agree.
You kind of have to figure out where people are going to go. If they win, where do you put them? Who do you match them up with? Potential fights. And then if it goes well, great. If not, then you got to readjust.
Yeah.
So you plan for that. Some of these guys have no like a self-awareness where you're like, oh yeah, the UFC wants me to win. I'm just like, really?
There's only a few guys. I think there's only a few guys.
A handful
like,
of guys.
There's like maybe one or maybe two guys per weight class that they're like, we hope you win your next fight. Like the rest of you guys, they don't really care
sometimes
or they want you
fan,
to lose.
I do think that. I think they try to make certain matchups that they're hoping someone wins.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously it doesn't always go that way, but they are hoping. They try to match up where they think this guy has an edge over this guy.
Like a tailor-made matchup, pun intended.
I could be wrong, but as a fan, that's what I do believe.
Taylor.
It's a tailor-made matchup.
Let's go.
Knee slapper, baby.
But yeah, like there's some guys who are just like, they naturally have the hype, but then there's some guys they're pushing, and then there's some guys where they just, you're meant to lose. Like, that's your role in this whole thing.
Like, that's your role.
I don't want to just say, but
you
like,
don't gotta accept
to
that.
Me, as a fan, I keep saying as a fan, so because I don't know as much as these guys, but like Sean O'Malley, I'm a fan of him as a fan, but do they want him to lose? No, they do not.
They don't want him to fight
they
me.
They do not want him to lose. They don't want him to fight a wrestler.
But he knows that.
They don't want him to fight a jiu-jitsu guy.
Wait,
they
what did Dana say at the press conference? What did
he say?
Whoever wins between Piotr Jan and Sean O'Malley gets the next title shot?
He did say that.
Oh!
Started eating your own words.
But do you think they thought TJ was going to beat you?
Yeah, 100%.
You know what? I think they thought that.
I think they thought TJ was going to beat me.
They
thought Jan was going to beat me.
For sure.
They thought Sanhagen was going to beat me. They thought Pedro Munhoz was going to beat me. I'm like, what do I got to prove to you guys that I'm better than what you actually think?
It's like they don't know much about you, bro, because those were bad matchups for all of them. And Sean O'Malley
TJ was kind of scary.
Bad matchup for you.
No, TJ scared the shit out of me. If bro, I'm being 100% honest.
I think we were all a little scared.
Me too. TJ scared
like,
me.
Oh, he's good at wrestling. He can strike.
Yeah.
You know, but once I seen you guys in the cage before the injury, it wasn't even close.
Bro, for me, like, I was backstage with you, nervous as a motherfucker. Like, not because I thought you were going to lose. But just like, I'm like, yo, like, this is a very important fight. TJ's a very fucking tough competitor.
Yeah, he's been in the
he's a very skilled guy.
He don't quit.
Right,
don't
like, quit. This is a hard out for anybody in the bantamweight division.
Corey Sanhagen, he had a war.
Yeah. Fucking like, okay, wow, this is a scary opponent for Aljo. I've got Aljo winning, obviously.
Yeah.
But then, like, the second I saw you and him in the cage, like, fighting, it was like, all of that shit just went away. Like, that just, like, I'm not scared anymore, bro. Like, this guy, like, looks different than Aljo.
I agree.
Aljo's fucking on a different level than this guy.
Right.
But that went away
right
away.
Right when it started to me. I'm like, oh, it's not going to be
like, it all went away. But I think all of, like, everyone in your camp, everyone took TJ very seriously.
Of course.
I know I did.
Yeah.
You have to.
You obviously.
Yeah.
But you're the type of guy where it's like, you're going to train just as hard for TJ that you're scared of. Not scared of, but like, if you're going to train just as hard for an opponent that you know,
challenge,
put some fire under your ass versus a guy who you're not as afraid of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to give the same training camp either way.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying about, like, I hate doing cardio because I know I'm going to go crazy hard, especially if I don't know. If I don't have a fight, it's like, why am I putting myself through this torture? I don't want to do this right now.
Every time I see you, you're running. So
it's
like
an opponent.
This dude's always doing cardio.
Yeah. And I don't run that often. I just try
lately,
to do it, like, lately.
Yeah.
And I kind of slacked a little bit. I probably have to run tomorrow, but We'll see if I actually do that.
I had definitely
have not to after all these six shots, eight shots, ten shots. I don't know how many shots we have.
What's but hungover jujitsu like?
I don't know.
Because that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
It's one of those things, man. It's like you got to prepare yourself as best as you possibly can. And I truly believe, like, the UFC brass can say whatever they want to say. Like, I know we've had great conversations. And what they say to me, I know is not the same thing they say to my opponents.
Of course.
And or their management. And I know they did not think I was going to go in there and beat Sanhagen. I know they didn't think I was going to go in there and beat Pedro. They're probably thinking all these guys are going to, he has his number. He has his number. Yeah, he's good, but he's boring. But this guy has his number. I'm like, I don't think you guys realize I fight the way I fight because one is smart. And two, if I need to go there and, to, and like dig deep, bite down my mouthpiece, I could do that shit. Yeah. Yeah. And people forget that. I feel like they only look at the first Jan fight and they go, oh, he's soft. He's an actor. I'm like, dude, you guys must have only watched me fight Jan and never watched any of my past fights before that.
But before that, nobody was saying that. That's the difference.
I think I've met a handful of fighters and like I feel like the difference between you and a lot of guys, not everybody, but a lot of guys is like you want to fight. You want to win in you want the least path of resistance in your win. So that's how you game plan. You're like, I'm going to beat this guy at his weakness. I'm not going to try to put on the biggest show. I'm just going to try to get this win. Where other guys are like, they game plan for how they want to beat a guy based on how it's going to affect their career.
Yeah.
And they let that like a lot of guys, like, I mean, we were just talking about Chandler. Like, I want to beat this guy this way because it'll give me this effect in my career versus like, you're like, I want to keep this fucking belt as long as I can, and I'm going to do it the smartest way possible, and I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about how I fight. But and you don't ever let that affect you, I feel like.
I know everyone's an athlete, obviously, in this sport, but when I look at you in the division, I'm like, you're like a freak athlete, right? There's freak athletes and there's athletes to me, and that's what sets you above the rest. You're like a freak athlete, man.
You know what's crazy?
That's the difference when I look at you.
I can't even do a backflip.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You're not a gymnast.
I don't think it's like that.
But you know what I mean? It's like there's so many guys who have more skill and raw talent in doing certain things. I just think I put it together better than most of these guys.
But it's like it's also like your style of fighting and then your body type go together perfectly.
I agree.
You're long as fuck and you've got these like super strong limbs. That's perfect for a fucking spider grappler like you.
And I got my brother Kelvin and Troy. Kelvin doesn't even lift weights. He never wrestled.
What?
Never really played sports in high school. And he does jiu-jitsu. And people look at him and they go like, you're ridiculously strong. I even tell him, like, bro, you are insanely strong for someone who does. Like, I actually lift sometimes. He does not.
A natural athlete. Like, some people just have it.
Yeah.
Some people don't, dude.
Super strong, man. But he'll fatigue you, like, really, really quick because he'll put so much into it.
Yeah.
But even with like Marab, him and Marab will go.
Yeah.
And then he'll catch Marab with some stuff. And then I go, I don't get you. You roll with Marab. You could catch him in submissions sometimes. And then you spar Marab and then he just beats the brakes off of you. I don't even understand it. All right,
we got fire going on.
I think they're cooking in the kitchen right now.
Someone cooking a steak or something.
But
it's an hour 46-minute podcast.
But even going back, I feel like the UFC sometimes they get it wrong. They're not always going to be on your side. They're not always going to think that you're going to win. And that's why it's up to you to take your career into your own hands and dictate the pace of everything. Because at the end of the day, I feel like people can say whatever they want, but you are the sole dictator in your future. And if you put the right time in, good things can happen for you. And I'm not saying it's always going to go the right way, even if you work and trained your ass off, studied your ass off. You're not going to always pass the test. You're not going to always get that raise. Someone else might get ahead of you because politics or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you stay the course long enough, I truly do believe, man, good things will happen. And I feel like I've been one of those guys to kind of showcase that.
I agree.
And, even though they try, like, I lost to Marlon Moraes, it was almost as if they were like, yeah, this guy absolutely sucks. He got knocked down in a minute. Let's fucking just feed him to the Young Bucks. They gave me Brett Johns. I come back, I beat the undefeated fighter. Yeah. And they give me Cody Stamen, undefeated in the UFC, beat the guy that I lost to by split decision.
What the fuck's going on?
He beats Brian Caraway. I beat him. Okay. So he's hanging around. Okay, all right. He still sucks. Let's give him Jimmy Rivera. Jimmy Rivera beat the brakes off of him. He's a really good striker, Taekwondo guy. Yeah. I mean, not Taekwondo, karate guy from Tiger Showman's. They got a rivalry. There's a story there. East Coast, New York versus New Jersey. I think Jimmy Rivera knocks him out. Okay, Jimmy Rivera goes in there. I pretty much style on him.
Easy.
And then, okay, this guy just knocked out Cody Garbrandt. There's no way this guy's going to lose to Pedro Munhoz. He's a killer. He's going to push him. Push him backwards. His jiu-jitsu won't be good enough to defeat Pedro. He won't submit him. He can't take him down. He might get choked out. I go in there and fight Pedro Munhoz. I win the fight.
In striking.
Yep.
In striking. Yep. All stand up. All stand up. Jimmy Rivera, all stand up. Cody Stamann, all stand up for the most part until the takedowns I got and I submitted him.
Yep.
And then I fight Corey Sandhagen. Oh, this guy beat his son's out who beat Sterling. And he beat all these other guys, and he's highlighting these guys. Sterling ain't getting past this. This is the guy we think that could be the next big money maker for us to fight for a world title. And I'm not saying they're saying this maliciously. Like, the UFC does things for a business standpoint. It's not, hey, man, it's not personal, but it's like, for our bottom line, this is the right move we got to make. But at the end of the day, you kind of got to look at it like, all right, I know this is what they're thinking. I'm here to play spoiler.
Yeah.
And that's all I've been doing for the last few years.
Yeah.
Corey Sandhagen, a guy I was, oh my God, up at night, I'm sparring just in the
kid. Yeah, how afraid of Corey Sandhagen were you?
Oh, I was fucking terrified. I was like, if worst case scenario with Corey Sandhagen, I'm making sure if he beats me, this motherfucker is ending up in the hospital right fucking next to me. I swear to God. I was like, I am not letting this guy fucking beat me and go home and he can fucking party. And go to a club and do an appearance. No, you're coming to the hospital with me, bitch. That's the way I'm thinking in my head. Yeah. I got a sadistic side.
Yo, what
of
the
me.
Fuck? This and is giving me chills. This is giving me chills, bro.
I go dark, man.
That's the cage right there.
That's giving me and fucking chills.
People don't know that about me, but it's just like, you don't know. People only see what they see. They see the narrative. Oh, he's faking. I'm like, how can I fake something when I don't even know where the hell I'm at?
That's stupid, bro.
I got blasted in the head. I don't even know where I'm at. You're thinking I'm faking it because you think I'm faking it. Let me blast you in your head and let's see how you react if you're not knocked out unconscious.
Yo,
cold.
I asked you the other day, I was like, how did it feel to get kneed in the head? I was like, I wonder how that feels. And what did you say? You were like, let me spin you around 10 times with blindfolded. What was your analogy?
Something like that.
Face, you were like, let me spin you around 10 times blindfolded.
I tell you about to get like a cake. So he's like in a good mood and smash.
Like, you're about to get some pussy. So you're not even expecting this at all.
Yeah. So he's waiting for he's like, not even like, obviously in the fight, I'm not excited, but I'm like out of breath. I'm like, okay, I'm about to go in there, bitch. You ready to go?
But you know, most
and you get smashed.
Most people's initial reaction when I saw it was, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Dude, that was hard as fuck. Yeah.
I didn't and even know
after
what
that,
I didn't have
started
any
making stories, but when it first happened, I go, "Oh my God, that was fucking hard as fuck."
And they said because
it's a knee to the head.
They said because I got up, I sat up, and I sat back, and my eyes rolled in the back of my head. I'm like, so you know how you would have acted in that scenario?
Nobody knows.
I'm just like, because you have what experience?
No.
What experience do you have to be talking about how you would have reacted? I'm like,
bro,
this is the craziest asinine.
It was a narrative. I was watching that fight live.
What's stronger than a knee?
I was watching that fight live. My brothers and my dad were there. And we were all just like, what the fuck? Like, this is the craziest thing. But no one ever was like, oh, this is fucked for Aljo. Like, oh, he's like faking it. No one ever said that.
Me neither.
Until it became a narrative on Twitter.
The first thing I thought was, why the fuck did he do that?
I was like, oh, damn. I was like, oh, it sucks for Aljo that this is how he's winning.
That was stupid of him. So then after that, you're right. Whatever narrative they want to throw, they go with, you know?
Yeah.
My only,
like after that knee, there's a whole blackout spot, which reminds me of the Marlon Moraes fight. Except the Marlon Moraes fight, from the knee until waking up and coming to my senses in the hospital. I was awake. But my brother said you kept asking the same questions, and I didn't come to until I got into the hospital.
This was
very similar. I didn't remember anything until my coaches told me, like, oh, yeah, Mark Smith came to see you when you were about to get transported to the hospital. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Wait, so you did that whole
When did he
post-fight interview?
I don't remember any of that post-fight interview.
What?
At all. I had to go back and watch it to know what I said.
Are you shitting me?
You had a concussion, I had to go back and hear
bro, what I said. Bro, but you spoke so well.
Which is the craziest part. But no. He's faking. No, he's faking. I'm like,
yo, I'm actually shocked as fuck. Because I was watching that. I was watching that being like, yo, this is crazy. He's like explaining like his whole side of the story. And you didn't even know you were saying that?
No. Until afterwards, I went back and I watched it and I go, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know how sometimes you forget something and then something like jogs your memory?
Yeah.
And then it could kind of piece back things?
Yeah, of course.
So after I went back and I watched it, I was like, oh, I could kind of remember it being there.
Because like you were like, oh, this, the cage was slippery. You like had all these, like you had like reasons for what was going on.
Yeah.
But you don't remember any of that.
I don't remember. Even you saying that part, I don't remember that part. Which
what
is crazy.
The fuck?
But.
Because I think that interview is what why people thought you were making excuses.
Well, I had a lot of people saying like, oh, you did a full on interview. I'm like, dude, what are you even. Like, for
that's
me, I was
fucking
like,
crazy.
I had to go back and
you
watch
were blacked
the
out during
know
that.
What I even said.
They also throw a
I'm genuinely
right
shocked
in
right now.
They throw a microphone in your face, you're going to just start kind
well,
of talking.
I do remember you know they, what I mean? They. I do remember after the knee, they go, we're going to take him to the hospital right away. And I said, I think I said something like, no, I want to talk. And then when we go to the back, I was pretty much for me, I just want to apologize. Like,
for what?
So that part I remembered. That's and then everything else, like what I actually said, just that I don't remember.
Yeah.
So then that part, when I went back and I watched it, and I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Again, just
but
even
anyways,
going back.
We got a part two, and the part two
was a fucking.
Like, oh, you hugged his back. You barely won. I'm like,
you
give me
go
a
find
break.
The guy, then. How about that?
Yeah, you go.
Yo, but
him,
dude,
tell me how you do.
The beauty of it, bro.
Regular, tell me how you do.
The beauty of it.
24 pack of Bud Light at the house. He's 8 beers in talking shit. That's just my
bro,
opinion.
But the beauty of it is like you beat him in the rematch.
Yeah.
You did.
Judges decided you beat his ass.
Yeah.
You did.
I'm like, this guy threw like almost no punches that
bro,
hurt
people,
me or hit me.
People and were acting like you were Conor and he was Floyd. And like Max Kellerman going, oh, Conor's not going to land a punch. That's how people, that's the energy people are giving you.
Yeah.
And you fucking had his back for 2 rounds whole. Beat him in the first round. Like
I took him down 4 times. They put down 2 out of 22. I'm like, you guys are one stupid. I took this motherfucker down 4 times and they only counted 2.
Yeah.
But whatever. It was, at the end of the day, what we were even talking about was like, you control your destiny, man. Like these guys can say whatever they want to say. At the end of the day, when the athlete steps in there and they lock those doors, you have the final say. And
no
I want all the fighters that do listen to this or do hear this clip, remember that. It doesn't matter if you're the underdog by plus 500, plus 1500. All that matters is what you do when that cage door locks behind you. Because at the end of the day, that's all people are going to remember.
Yep.
I don't care what they say. They can history books are only going to say if you won or you lost. Bottom line. So go out there and do what you do, man. Put your heart on the sleeve and go out there and do your best. And that's all I could ever do. Like, so for people to hate me for that, damn. I'm like, I took the path of least resistance to beat Jan. And I thought about it. And I said, my approach to this second fight with Jan was, do I go out there and fight crazy the first round?
Nope.
But this time I know I'm not going to get tired. Or do I go out there and be more calculated, take my time, and let the fight come to me like I've done in the past? And then based on how he came out, okay, I was like, all right. I had a game plan for this. Let's play Matador. Ole.
Yeah.
Ole, you want to come like the Raging Bull? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to show you what the Raging what happens to the Raging Bull when you start getting stupid and thinking that.
I agree.
I'm not going to stand in front of you. I'm not a punching bag.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my time and I'm going to set up my shots and eventually I'm going to have my way.
Man,
but that's what happens when you listen to your intuition and don't fucking listen to what everyone else has to say about you. And you just do what you think is right for
and
you.
And again,
I had to zone it out.
Imagine if you had done the fight in December. Or March.
No, it was October.
Or whatever
in
the
Abu
fuck.
Dhabi.
And instead of fucking, like, instead of listening to your body, you had just done the fight because you didn't want to piss everybody off.
Yeah.
And you would have fucking lost that fight.
Yeah. I told my roommates, it's like, yo, I can't even go 2 rounds, but the UFC wants me to fight, and I got to just fight.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me just try to make the weight, and I go, and my roommates were just like, what are you talking about? Are you just going to fight? I was like, yeah, I might have the same performance, but at least I'm healthy, and I'll make a paycheck.
Bro, but everyone would have thought they were right about you.
Yeah. And I said the same thing. I was like, at least if I put on a good fight, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I was like, I know I'm going to get tired, but if I put on a good fight, I feel like at least the fans will be on my side in the sense of like, well, at least he fought hard. Yeah. But even in the first fight, I felt like I fought hard for what I can do in that moment, that time. Yeah. What my, like, I watched a clip on Twitter and it was hilarious because like Jan hit me with like this big ass 1-2.
Yeah.
Stumbles me backwards. I touch my chin like, yeah, I'm good. And I come back and hit him with this soft ass punch. Yeah. Like,
they were like, look at Jan's punch versus Aldo's punch.
And I'm like, they're like, yeah, this is why these aren't significant strikes. I'm like, yeah, well, if that was the case, he should have just knocked my ass out.
For sure.
He should have.
So he had the opportunity.
But he didn't.
Exactly.
I'm like, so and again, he's on a like those, losing these streak. Punches before. Like this had to have hurt.
It was strength versus strength.
I'm a troll.
It was skill versus skill. Your skills as a wrestler versus his as a striker. And guess what? The wrestler prevailed.
Yeah, but even like
he was
that's what it is.
I'm gonna. I gotta use the bathroom.
Go ahead. Yeah, me too. All right, should we end this?
Yeah,
I think we're good, bro. It's two. It's literally 2 hours.
Yeah,
it's the longest podcast in Weekly Scraps history.
I have a lot of editing to do.
I have a lot of editing, and I have to piss.
I think we got a lot of good clips. I think we got a lot of good takes.
If I don't have 7 or 8 clips out of this, I'm a shitty editor.
There was some funny stuff. Yeah. We got it. I mean,
7 or 8's the minimum.
But there was nothing else we were going to talk about.
I don't think so. All right, it's kind of a freestyle. All
right, so we're good, man.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. Oh shit!
I'm just saying. I think we should drink. As many podcasts as
I don't know if my career is going to go very well if we keep that.
I said as many as possible. Not
I'm
every
okay
time.
With it. I mean,
or I just got to be a better host sober. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I'll jump in and I'll get better. This is my first time, so I'm not used to being in front of the camera.
Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. If you like the shit, subscribe to this shit. Spinning back fist. We smack you up, motherfucker.
Wait.
Oh, be on the lookout. February 13th, the single Go Dumb is coming out. Can't wait for that.
What's your Instagram?
@thehill_rbo_motorsports.
If you guys are in Vegas and you need a sick,
right when I said it, I'm like, I gotta change.
I'm gonna no, but I'll put it on the screen when I edit it. But if you guys are in Vegas, you need car customization, check them out.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Subscribe. Follow the Weekly Scraps on Instagram.
Fuck Master MMA, Jake Fine Media.
Fuck yeah, follow us.
Let's go, baby.
Fucking, that was a good podcast.
Nice.
Thank you, guys. Peace.